Will you open with me to Ephesians 5? Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul gives the Ephesians these wonderful admonitions of how this combined group of Jews and Gentiles that have come now together in Jesus Christ and have become one, and how they should live. And really, when you get down to the bottom of Ephesians 5, he even creates, and you have to realize this is new for them. It's kind of familiar to us, but it's new. A whole new family structure is formed here, and it has to all do with Jesus Christ. I like the bottom of Ephesians 5 about a husband and a wife, but the Apostle Paul does end up saying, look, it's a mystery, but I'm talking about the church. And I'm talking about Christ and the church. You know, think about that a little bit. I like to remind that every marriage is an allegory of Christ and the church. That's what Paul was bringing out. And how important that in Christianity our marriages are strong. And Paul brings that out, and he goes on about the family structure. Such a good part. But we're looking at the three walks, and we talked about how we should walk in love and be the essence of Christ in this world. Just be the essence of Christ. Let people know that Christ is in us, that and sense it. And then how he goes on to say that we ought to walk in the light. And John says in his epistles, we should walk in the light as he's in the light. But we're looking at this section here, and I'm going to start with verse 14 of chapter 5. Verse 14 says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He's paraphrasing from Isaiah 60, it's believed. Wake up, right? Wake up. I like that phrase. Wake up. We need to wake up. Yeah. Be alert. Yeah. Wake up to the things of God. Don't ever become sluggish in that. Say, God, keep me sharp about that. And I was thinking of a time when my grandmother, she would come down from New Rochelle, New Jersey, when my brother and I were young. And she had a favorite phrase that she would say to us, because we were running around and making my mother nuts. You know, just being boys. And my grandmother would come down and say, you boys are in for a rude awakening. You know, so we'd go in our room and go, we're in for a rude awakening. You know, mocking on grandmother a little bit. And every time she would come and visit us, one time she brought us these styrofoam building block things that used to be, you know, and she brought them. She said, I have these for you guys. But we were just so driving my mother nuts. She's like, you're not getting this. You boys are in for a rude awakening. And, you know, my brother and I, we were like, oh, I wish she wasn't here, because she didn't give us the building blocks, you know. And we're in for a rude awakening. We're in for a rude awakening. We didn't even have an idea what she meant by a rude awakening. But the apostle writes here, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I want to just quickly give you a few verses about that, about being awake, about this. Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. He writes in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. He writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The Apostle Paul uses this idea of, you know, we need to wake up. We need to be awake to the things of God, what he's saying. I liked what a pastor said here one time. God is always speaking. It's just that we're not always listening. You know, we all have a different sleep pattern. Some of us are light sleepers. You know, you just sniffle and they wake up. Could you keep it down? And then there are those that, I'm telling you, you could set off an M80 in the room. And they, it doesn't bother. Have you ever seen someone like that? They're really asleep. I was just talking with someone the other day, and I knew just what they meant. An afternoon sleep here at camp can be comatose. You just, it's like the elevator goes down. I think it's all the fresh air. You know, do you know what I mean? Sometimes I'll take a nap because I'm ancient at home, and I'll just be on the couch. And it's just kind of like, it just starts going down. You know, and then you somehow in your sleep, you're conscious that I'm really going into a deep sleep. And then there's that little thought, I hope I come out of this sleep. You know? I had that when I arrived here. I was very tired. We had a very busy week. And I lied down for one moment. And I woke up, and I'm like, I'm at camp. Have you ever had, did you have that? Well, that's a good sleep, right? But Paul repeatedly says throughout his writings, you know, it's time to wake up. There came a time when my brother and I were older, and I got a call from my mother. She said, Keith, you got to come over. My grandmother had moved from New Rochelle, and she had moved down by us. And she said, you got to come over to grandmother's house. I said, what's going on? She said, I think she's dying. I said, what happened? I think grandma's going home. She had given her heart to the Lord at 82. And I remember those words being echoing through my heart and reaching my head. This was a rude awakening. We lose people down here. We don't have them forever. And maybe that was what my grandmother was trying to communicate to us way back when we were young. You're in for a rude awakening the way you treat people and your mom and all. I think that's what she was trying. We didn't get it then. But I got it that night when I came to her bedside, and I knew that I could have shared my affections with her a lot more than I did. I was kind of blind. I was busy, you know, being me. And all she wanted was us to connect. A rude awakening, right? Look, we don't want a rude awakening when it comes to Jesus Christ. All the Father wants is to have a relationship with us. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, this is how it should work, folks. Each one of us should have this experience, he says in Romans, where God's Spirit, now get this, God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit, and we cry what? Abba Father. You know, and you'll always hear, you know, that's dead. It's close. And I always like to say, have you had that experience? Or have you just said, well, I know I'm saved. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that's purchased me. But there ought to come this relationship where I have a Heavenly Father and I know Him. And that should not come to a rude awakening. You know, there's a sleep that refreshes, but there's also a sleep that suspends. A sleep that refreshes is when you wake up and you've been restored, but there's a sleep that suspends and puts things off. You know, a proverb says a little folding of the hands, right? That we suspend. God is waiting to do so much for us, in us, and through us, and sometimes we're just sleeping. And we need to just say, Lord, keep me alert to things above. You know, the apostle puts it this way, set my affections on things above. We really need to do that. That, okay, I'm I know I have to occupy while I'm down here. I know I have things to do, but set my affection on things above. So important. And so the last thing we want to talk about here is a wisdom, to walk in wisdom. Because I don't think we always do. We just don't always do that. And the Apostle Paul was telling these people in Ephesus, look, you're about to embark upon an amazing adventure. You could put it the narrow way. It really is. This Christian walk is an adventure.
Yes.
It's exciting.
It is.
If you have your eyes open. You know, I live by Great Adventure. How many have heard of Great Adventure? Six Flags, okay, it's called, all right? You've heard of it, right? It's full of rides, and it's incredible how we come up with all these amazing ways to vomit. You know, it's just, right, isn't that what it is? You know, they advertise, vomit comet, come on, get on it, you know? And people who even get a little bit car sick, you know, I can't wait to get to Great Adventure and get on the Batman ride. That's old, though, right? I personally don't partake of that. But that's a great adventure. Well, I want to say that the narrow way is a great adventure. If you keep awake, if you keep your eyes. I did finally go on the ride, on a roller coaster. I had my eyes closed most of the time. Yeah, I opened them finally when we reached the peak, and I'm like, they're going to drop me down here? But we need to keep our eyes open. And the Apostle Paul writes here in this portion of 8 through 14, around there. Excuse me, 15 through 21. He writes, he says, you're on a great adventure, but you need to keep your eyes open. And what we're going to just hit on today is four things. He says it's a great adventure, but you need to be looking around. You need to be thinking new thoughts. New thoughts. You're going to want every minute to count, and there's going to be so much on this narrow way for us to enter into. Now, what I've done is I put into a acrostic where the Apostle Paul says it's a great adventure, but take care. C-A-R-E. Take care. My mother always said that to me whenever I would go out. Be careful. I never thought about her saying that once when I was out. But she would always have to say, oh, are you going out? Well, be careful. Until I got older and I had children, and then I knew exactly what she meant. You're going to go? You're going to travel there? Well, be careful. What was she saying? What was she saying? What are you communicating? It's just be alert, be awake, be watchful. Don't be mindless. Think about what you're doing as you're doing, even though you're doing things I don't want you to do, right? That's it. Be careful. And the Apostle Paul says to them, then take care, take care. And so C, of course, is circumspectly. C then, he says there, that you walk circumspectly. And of course, that word, you can look at it and know the origin of it. It's circus, you know, look and to look around. Not as fools, but as wise. To look around, be careful, the original, correctly and accurately. Know where you're going, know what you're doing, look at your circumstance. My brother Roy, God has done so much for him. But when we were in our young adult days, my brother Roy, he was a mystery to me. Because it would be Saturday night, and Roy, he had this jalopy of a car that he fixed up. And he'd spend hours getting all dressed up. You know, he had hair then. And he would be combing his hair. And like, Roy, where are you going? I don't know. I don't know, he'd say. But then he would get in the car. My mother would say, be careful. And then he'd take off. We wouldn't see him sometimes till 12 o'clock. Or 1 o'clock. Then he'd come home, go to bed. The next Saturday night came around. Roy was in the bathroom. He'd put some clothes on, you know, get into his, it was like a Firebird or something he had, you know, a car. And he would take off. And he did this repeatedly. Finally, I said, Roy, can I go with you? No. No. Well, I bugged him enough till finally one Saturday night, Roy said, okay, you can go. Just get dressed. I said, oh, this is going to be an adventure. Where are we going, you know? So I put on some, I don't know what he considered dress-up clothes, you know. Not a suit and tie, I don't think that. Just a sports shirt and stuff. I got in and I said, here we go. Where are we going? I don't know. And this is not a made-up story. And that night I sat with my brother till we ended up somewhere in Pennsylvania. And I said, Roy, don't you think we should be getting home? And he turns to me and says, I'm not quite sure which way home is. There's no GPS in these days. No, it's the late 70s. There's a thing called the phone booth. Do you know what that is? You know what a phone booth is? You got to put money in it. Roy didn't have any money. And neither did I. So I said, now it's getting late. And I'm like, Roy, can we turn around? He says, okay, we're heading home. As soon as we find something familiar that will get us there. I said, we're in Pennsylvania, for goodness sake. And we drove around, folks, until Roy finally figured out. I said, look, let's ask that person. But, you know, it's the old thing. Guys don't do that. And so we just kept. Finally, we got home at 1:30 in the morning. After driving for hours, aimlessly, driving. I remind him to this day sometimes. I said, Roy, remember that trip? Yeah, it was a great adventure, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. We didn't know where we were going or why we were going or how we were going. And the Apostle Paul says, don't do that on the narrow way. Walk circumspectly. Look around. Know where you're going. Know why you're going. Know what you're doing. God can show you. You know, I believe sometimes the reason we have lack of abundant life on the narrow way is that we're just going. We're just doing. We're not pausing and saying, okay, God, what's next on the agenda? You know, for some of us young people, maybe it's, okay, I'm done with high school. I'm going to college. Or maybe it's, I'm not going to college. Well, then what are you going to do? Well, a good thing to say, I have a Heavenly Father. I have a Savior. Let me talk to Him. What do you want me to do, Lord? And you need to pause and say, okay, let's take a look around. Open my eyes. God, maybe I need to wake up a little bit. What is it about? If I did that when I was young, if I had stopped, I think the Heavenly Father would have said, don't go for a ride with your brother Roy. Walk circumspectly. That's C. But then there's A. And A is accountability. Take a look at what the apostle is saying here in this verse. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Folks, you know, the clock is a different item for we who have been redeemed. We're not to just waste time. Now listen, I'm not going to stand up here before you and just preach this. I can be pretty good at wasting time. You know? I mean, I get entertained by this. There's so much that we have that will waste our time. Great Adventure is one of them. But there is so much. How about this? I'm amazed how I can't do it. They're on their phone, they're using their thumbs. Their thumbs are going like they're like hummingbirds. I tried that once. I sent messages I regret. I can't do it. You know, I'm more like this. Beep, 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 beep. And I need the sound. I need the sound so I know that I hit, you know, beep, 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 beep. But I saw someone the other day. Pretty amazing, right? We can waste so much time. I had a fella in the chapel years ago. Some of us here know him, Eck. He got so wrapped up in video games. One time he came to me, he was like this. He was like, I played for 36 hours. You know, a video game. His eyes are like this. 36 hours. Then the Lord convicted him that maybe he might be wasting time. So he shows up at my place. He goes, I got something for you. I said, well, what? He opens the trunk and he has his computer there. He says, you think the church could use this? Because I'm wasting time with this. And he gave, and it was a hot computer. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I was playing those games. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. But you know, I was thankful the Lord spoke to his heart. Unfortunately, he fell back into that. But he gave this expensive computer away. I was hoping the car was going to go with it, but that didn't happen. But you know, we can waste. There's so much. But here's the thing. If we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if we're saved, and the Apostle Paul says, look, he said it to the Jews and the Gentiles, look, you've been redeemed now, so it comes down to this. You need to redeem the time. Make our time here count. I'm going to go back to Walter Kayroot, who took some time, who was so awake and alert that when he met John, he knew it was an opportunity. He said, John, you need to get to church. He could have just been about his business, right, John?
Yeah.
He could have been about it, said, well, you know, okay. But he was awake and alert, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. He was redeeming the time, folks. So important that we don't just, you know, maybe many of you know about Henry David Thoreau, right? A philosopher. He said some good stuff, though. He said, and I thought this was so good, can you really kill time without injuring eternity? That's pretty good, right? We all should get a cabin in the woods. Some of you do. Can we really just kill time without injuring eternity? It's so true. Well, the next thought he has there for us is R. So C was circumspectly, and A was accountability, but R is rational thought. Listen to what he says there in 7, I think it's around 17, 18. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I put this down as this is, when you're saved, you're going to get your first rational thought. And how do I mean that? Well, the best illustration I could think of was this. We're on the Titanic. Okay? All of us. And you know the Titanic story, right? Unless you've been sleeping a long time. The Titanic, this unsinkable ship that is sent out there. In the middle of the ocean, it hits an iceberg, and it's sinking. We're on that ship. Now, you're thinking, maybe we could get dinner in before we enter the lifeboats. Or I understand there was some entertainment happening. Let's catch that first, and then we'll try to get into the lifeboat. Or maybe it's like, you know, I had some suggestions about redecorating the ballroom. Maybe I'll mention it to the captain before we get into... No. Your first rational thought would be what?
Get in the lifeboat.
That's rational thinking. Not decorating, redecorating, not getting to your last meal, not all of that. Your first thought is, my goodness, this boat is kaput, and I'm getting into something that will rescue me, and abiding in it, and staying in it. And you know, the apostle says here, look, it therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When you're saved, our first rational thought should be, This world is going to go away, but his words are never going to go away. So what is the will of God for me? That's a rational thinking, right? Now, think about the ludicrous thinking that's taking place out there today. You know, they're working hard on one end, and it's really the opposite on the other end. I mean, they come up with a law, right, that says, well, let's just make a law where it's okay to abort a full-term baby. Does that sound like rational thinking? Does that sound like rational thinking to you? I mean, I could go on and on about some of the things, but I'm not going to bring them into this sacred place. It's ludicrous, folks. And you know, here's the thing. We get caught up in it. The church is caught up in it. And we need to say, God, what is your will? Well, the last thing, and a more positive and even greater thing, is E. So C for circumspectly, A for accountability, R, rational thought. But E is entering in, because God has purchased us to enter into some glorious things. And take a look at it there. You'll find it there in 18 through 20. Allow me to read it to us. We're to be filled with the Spirit. And so he writes, the apostle, to these, as he does to us, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. I'm going to stop right there. You know, there's this whole thing with alcohol. I'm just going to say this, okay? I'm leaving today right afterwards, so if you get mad at me, I'll never know. But I really, one time I took a survey here when I had all the young staff. I had a Tuesday night. We said, we're going to meet in the palace. We're having our own gig. You know, we're going to meet up there. And I just put a survey out about how many just, what their thoughts on were about alcohol. And the majority of the survey came back that it's okay as long as you don't get drunk. You know, I said, okay, I'll drink to that. No, I didn't say that. I teased them about that. But, you know, hey, let me just say this, and you can take it or leave it. I'm not a big advocate of alcohol. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin, and I'm not saying that, one sip and you're going to slip. But it's been my experience that this is what happens. Some people can handle it and some can't. And some people, their lives have been too many, in my experience, flushed down the toilet by it. And so I just want to voice that maybe we need to consider others who are weak and not be so arrogant about it's okay in the church today. Maybe we need to be mindful. In the chapel, there are those whose lives were being wrecked by it, by that very thing. And they weren't even alcoholics. I'll just say 1 minute more, I'll move on. My wife and I, we were married, in September it'll be 35 years that we've been married. But when we were married, her family was unsaved. And so, you know, we were planning the, what do you call that thing again? Thank you, reception again, you know? Yeah, it was a long time, 35 years, folks. But we were planning a reception, and when her family and friends found out we weren't going to have alcohol, some of them said, well, we're not coming. And I thought a lot of things. But I thought, what is that? What if I said, well, I'm not serving Coke. We're not going to have Pepsi at it. Would they have said, oh, well, if you're not serving Pepsi, I'm not coming? So I said, well, what is it about alcohol? Right? It kind of just gave me a clue about it. Well, I know you're all wondering how it turned out. They came, you know. I wish I could say they had a great time, but I can't. But I just want to put a caution out there with that. Just be cautious. It may not be about you, but it may be about someone else. It may be about a young person who has seen your example, but maybe not as strong as you are. Thank you for your time. He goes on, don't be drunk with wine, in which is this debauchery, this, right? But be filled with the Spirit. You know, and that's another thing. I got to put one more thing in there. Some of us will fight harder for the alcohol than we will about being filled with the Spirit in the church today. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something to enter into. That's what God has for us, to be filled with the Spirit, to allow His Spirit in. There's so much that we enter into in our lives here on this side of glory by osmosis. There isn't it? It's just by osmosis. You know what that is? If you paid attention in science class, you would know. It just gets into us. It penetrates us. There's so many spirits out there, folks, that have their only one design is to inhabit us. That's kind of a frightening thought, isn't it? And I've seen young people who've been captured by it. It would behoove us to say, I'm entering in, Lord. I want your Spirit in me. I'm opening my heart, oh Lord Jesus, that you fill me, oh God, with those things. So I want to say to us, let's take care. Let's take care on this narrow way. Guard what you have. Treasure it. Thank God for it every day that you're saved, born again. There's so many unsaved loved ones that we're pleading to God with, that He would open their eyes and awaken them to what we have found. And, you know, I hear the Holy Spirit say sometimes, yes, they do need to be awakened, but maybe so do we. Sometimes our unsaved loved ones look at us and say, what do you have? Okay, you go to church. That's great. You're into it. You know, Bible study and church, and you're there Sunday morning and Sunday night, and that's great. And they see that, say, well, you're religious and all, and they never once get a whiff of the essence of Christ. You know? Why? Because we are not entering in like we should. We're not being filled with the Spirit like we should. And God has that for us. Father, you were able, through the Apostle Paul, to go to Ephesus and bring together people that could never come together. But by the Holy Spirit, you drew them and made them one in Christ. And then you set them off on this wonderful adventure, the Christian life. But you gave them these instructions that they're to take care. And in Revelations 12, you write to us, Lord, that the accuser of the brethren is cast down. But you also tell us there, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he's down here now. And we need to take care, to walk carefully. He doesn't have your ear, but he has our ear. And we pray, Lord, that we will walk pleasing, that we might not just navigate slowly on this narrow way, but we'll conquer, we'll go forth. We want that. I want that, Lord. And so we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to sing, I know we sang it, A Life of Overcoming. It's in the white book. It's 41. A Life of Overcoming. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Lord. A life of overcoming, a life of ceaseless praise. Be this thy blessed portion through. Son has captivity shall glory in his triumph and share his victory. Then from thy life ascending, one triumph note of praise for they who always conquer, a victor's song must raise, shall echo on unceasing till Satan's host doth flee. Before our glorious watchword, Lord, victory for me. Though all the path before thee, the host of darkness fell, look to thy Father's promise and claim the victory still. Faith sees the heavenly legions where doubt sees not but foes, and through the very conflict her life the stronger grows. More stern will grow the conflict as nears our King's return, and they alone can face it who this great lesson learn, that from them God has not but to unlatch the door. Yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. Yes, dear God. Yes, dear Jesus. Amen. 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 I want to say to you young people here, you have to remember, you hold that key. You hold that key. And all God asks is that you unlatch the door and say, okay, Lord, come in. Don't ever shut him out. You know, sometimes there's so much that can entertain us, and that's, you know, I like entertainment too. But be careful that you've opened only the door to those things and have not unlatched it to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, I grew up in church, and sometimes meetings are, oh boy, they're just not full of abundant life, you know? And I found out that it's all about unlatching the door, whether they are or they aren't. And so I want to say, always say, Holy Spirit, we're gathered here in the name of Jesus, and he's here. And I'm always, no matter whether it's dry and an exciting speaker or a long meeting or just a quiet time or a high praise time, Lord, I'm always going to recognize the majestic presence of Christ. And I bow my heart and my will before that. And I'm here for you, Lord Jesus. Always remember that. It's the only thing God asks is that you unlatch that door, and he'll take care of all the rest. And Father, we thank you for that grace. We thank you, Lord, that you don't manipulate us. We're thankful, Lord, although sometimes we wish you would. But love must be free, and we want to love you, Lord. We want to abide in you. We want to take care on this narrow way. And we pray, God, that we'll go forth conquering the conquer. Lord, we pray, God, that if there's things in our lives that we need victory, that we'll have this absolute determination that God is going to win in my life. We trust you to do that. Continue to just move and bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.